you doing, Keith? It's been a long, long time.
It really has been. We go all the way back to the Action Film Camp that I first met you. We were producing it with Keith Strandberg and Michael DePasquale, and it's the first time that I was aware who you were. We started this camp to find fighters and train them for our films, and I've said this on many of my own interviews, my podcasts. Get this. You came in and you started performing, and I looked over at Keith Strandberg, and I said, I have two sensations right now. I am overjoyed. I have just witnessed the greatest martial artist I've ever seen.
Okay.
My second sensation was I was depressed. I had just witnessed the greatest martial artist I had ever seen, and I knew I could never do anything you just did. And I looked at Keith and I went, that's not even possible what he's doing. So congratulations on your career, on everything you've done. But you were just a phenomenal martial arts athlete that just took this industry by surprise.
Oh, thanks, Keith. Thanks for those kind words. That's too much. I appreciate it. Yeah. Oh, God, I learned such a lot on that seminar. That was the first time I'd been to America. I can't remember how I heard about it, but we used to have the martial arts magazine those days, right? It's probably in there somewhere. And I remember, because my parents, they didn't have a lot of money. And I mentioned it to my mom and dad. I'd love to go and take, be in this seminar, because I loved all the no treats, no surrenders and the seasonal stuff. And my uncle had some air miles left that he needed to get rid of. So he said, I'll give you the air miles and you can get the plane to Atlanta. My mom was crying when I got on the plane because I think she could tell that I was a bit nervous. I'd never been on a flight that long before, but I desperately wanted to achieve this dream I had, I thought, what better place to go and do it? I remember the towel drills and everything where we were kicking the towels and then he had to react. I remember a guy saying, I don't know which of you it was, but react like you're being burnt with a hot iron. And that made perfect sense to a body shot,
Well, Keith Strandberg and I started producing films where he was producing at first before I joined him, but I was one of the actors. But we found that the local people you would pick up, the martial arts fighters, you put them in the films, they had a hard time with reactions. And so it was just frustrating trying to train them on the set, wasting all that time. And it was just difficult. Mm-hmm. So we figured out a way. We said, let's start an action film camp and market it, bring people in. And we'd have 100 people come in usually to these camps, and we just go through the training, and then we would kind of cherry pick the ones we wanted for films. And we probably put 100 different people in films, in the industry.
I really learned a lot. My first job was a Hong Kong movie where I really learned a lot there as well. Baptism by Fire. But yeah, picked up so much off you guys. And I remember Strandberg, he wanted to put me in Blood Moon. But I remember they used so much of the visas on the Hong Kong crew that he wasn't able to get me over in the end.
It was frustrating for us because we thought we had found Bruce Lee, Chuck, all of them rolled into one. And we were so excited about you. And it was the first movie I co-produced with Keith Strandberg. I found the studio and we got, of course, Gary Daniels, a wonderful martial artist, and the late Darren Shalabali.
Yeah, Darren was great.
And get this, I was going, there's something in the water in the UK because all three of you guys could do things that most of the actors, martial artists in the States couldn't do. And I just kept on going, oh my gosh, it's just incredible. But Gary was he still is a good friend of mine, and I really enjoyed working with him. God, he could just do anything. I know you guys are friends as well.
Yeah, no, fantastic. I think what it is about the UK, I'm not sure if this is necessarily true, but I think I was told once that back in the 90s, early 90s, we had more access to Hong Kong movies than Americans did. That's what I was told once, and it kind of made sense. There's a whole generation around my age that grew up watching the Jackie Chan movies and all those Hong Kong martial arts films that got very inspired. I think maybe they came a bit later to America, or they were harder to get.
Right, exactly. And they were the American style films, the Don Wilson, Art Camacho type of fight. There's so many of those, totally different than the experiences I had doing the Hong Kong films with Jackie Chan and those types, with Tony Leung, with seasonal films. It was a whole different world. So I'd go from one world, like Revenge of the Ninja, doing, movies with Shokasugi, and nothing like experiences I'd have with the other films.
Now, we're going to do
Just seems
something
so much
different
bigger.
today because you are interviewing me for your podcast, which I'm very grateful to be on. So you're going to be asking me a lot of questions. Tell me about Wheels on Meals then. What was that experience like of filming a fully fledged Hong Kong martial arts film? One of the best we've ever seen, and
It
working with the
was.
great Yuen Biao. How was it for you then to film fighting in Hong Kong? Or the Hong Kong style for the first time.
Right. It was difficult at first, but I was coming off, I was an athlete and I was competing. So I was in great shape and I was known as a kicker. And what most people don't realize is that Benny and I went to Barcelona together to work with Sammo and Yong Val and Jackie.
Did you know
And
Benny
at
before
first,
that?
yes, I did a film with Benny called Force 5. And I was supposed to be one of the actors in that, but I screwed up on my audition that Robert Klaus looked at me and says, "Oh, you're just a stunt guy." So I didn't even get one of the star roles, but Benny did. And so I was part of that. It was my first fight scene against my mentor, Richard Norton. And so I've done some films with Richard Norton. So I was just blessed to do that first fight scene with him. But it was a good experience. But Wheels on Mills was so good. We had a lot of training. We would put it together, but nothing like we do now where you rehearse. It'd be on the set. And get this, the first time I was doing my first fight scene with Jackie Chan, it's like one-on-one stunt fighting teaching. Jackie comes to me and he goes, I said, "Jackie, we're getting ready to shoot. Robert Chow's, Raymond Chow's there, and there's all the actors. There's 100 people on set. We're going to do a big scene." And I looked at Jackie. I said, "Jackie, we haven't rehearsed the scene yet." He goes, and he sat down and he goes, "Throw some kicks for me." So I jumped up and I did a bunch of kicks and spins, and I'm a pretty good kicker. And he literally stood there like this, and he goes, on his leg, he goes. I said, "What are you doing?" He says, I'm working out the beat, the rhythm of the fight." I said, "What are you talking about, the rhythm?" He says, "You can take the two best fighters in the world, you put them together. If there's not a beat, a rhythm, your subconscious mind will not like that fight." He says, "But what we're going to do is we're going to put something rhythmical together." And then that's what he did. And I was like, I'm like a kid in a candy store going, "Oh my goodness, this is pretty good training from the master himself."
Yeah, because it helps if you know the rhythm of the fight, right? Because for people that don't know, like you don't want to get hit in the face for real when you're doing a fight scene, although sometimes it does happen. That's part and parcel of it. But you find that when you know the rhythm with your partner, like you're dancing, you know what the choreography, you know when the technique is coming because it's based on the rhythm. So you can like stay in the pocket a bit more and stay within the danger zone a bit more, because if you're both within the rhythm, you know when to move and when not to.
People didn't realize at the time, I was witnessing the end fight scene for Wheels on Mills with Benny and Jackie Chan, and we would
One of the
film. They
greatest
would
fight
film.
scenes ever made.
So I'm doing my end fight scene with Yong Bao down at the bottom of the castle, and then we'd finish shooting, and then we'd go up to watch Benny's. And believe it or not, Yong Bao, he was old school traditionalist. He liked long legs. He liked long spinning moves. And every time Benny, they were putting the fight sequences together right there, and they would rehearse it, and he would tap me and go, "Don't like, don't like." I said, "What don't you like?" He goes, "Too close, too short." He didn't like Benny's short legs. And but now after I'm watching it, I went, "This is the best thing I've ever seen in my life." There was no music, no editing, no, and I went, "I've just witnessed in person without any special effects the best fight scene I've ever seen. It was remarkable, just remarkable." And Benny took a lot of punishment. Because Jackie was just sticking them. I mean, literally, they do the close-ups, and they put the powder on, they split you, and then they just smack you. And they set us up.
What,
And
so what Benny was like, yeah, just hit me. I'm hard. I can take it. Give me your best shot.
yeah, and it didn't matter because Sammo Hung told him. Sammo goes, he'd go, "Benny, you okay?" And Benny started it himself because Benny, they were doing close-ups. And Benny's, would have, he, I just did a fight scene with Benny a couple months ago. And so I know Benny really well. So Benny is the toughest man alive. I don't think he feels pain. I used to fight him. I'd hit him with the hardest techniques and he wouldn't even budge. I'd go, but anyway, Jackie would hit a close-up and he would stick him three, four hard close-up techniques during that fight. And then cut, and Sam will go, Benny, okay? And Benny go, no problem. Well, he kept on saying no problem, which was ticking off Jackie and Jackie's entourage. Because then Jackie look over at his people, and then Benny would just look over at me and smile, and then, okay, let's do it again. And then again, one, two, three, and then he'd stick him harder. And then he'd go, Benny, okay. And Benny look at Jackie, and then look at him and go, no problem. And I went, oh my gosh. And
Yeah, they
then
were
he just
quite
got
competitive
vicious.
with each other, weren't they? I've heard all the stories about how Jackie kept saying, "I'm going to fight you at the end of this movie." And then by the time they'd done the fight, he was like, "No, I'm not going to fight you."
I got along with Samo was powerful like a bear. Jackie was his versatile, with doing all kind of wild stuff, but Yong Bao was pure excellence. It was like he
Yeah.
was just the perfect machine,
Oh, he
and
was the
I really got along
cleanest
with him the
kicker.
most.
He was the cleanest kicker and acrobat of the three, really, wasn't he? Yeah.
And they would tell me stories about when they were in that Peking opera together when they were children. So it was nice to sit around at dinner and they just tell the stories. And there was a hierarchy that Sammo was the big brother, and then there was
Yeah.
Jackie, and then there's Yong Bao. And Yong Bao couldn't say much. I go, why not? He goes, they're my big brothers. I have to do what they tell me to do, which was so odd to me from our
Yeah.
culture. And then Jackie and Sammo stayed, and they'd always just go at it. And there was one scene working with Jackie where Sammo, they were betting and they were having some difficulty, but you could tell we got to the set. There's 100-something people there. There was a bus of Japanese that had been unloaded to watch this scene in the courtyard. And Raymond Chow came and flew in to see this scene. And Benny and I were fighting Jackie. And Sammo had everything set up. And so Sammo goes, everybody ready? And we choreographed our techniques. And Sammo says, when Benny does this, I want you to slide up and hit Jackie Chan with a sidekick and take him out. And I went, that's what I do. That's the name of my podcast, Sidekick. I'm known for my sidekick. So I got right side forward, and Sammo behind the camera goes, what are you doing? And I went, I'm ready. He goes, oh no, change sides. And I went,
Oh.
oh no, you don't want me to change sides. I can throw a sidekick, but I'm going to hurt somebody with it. He goes, no problem. I'll change everything just for you. And I went, no, sorry. So I changed. I got back to my left side forward, and we did the technique. And I slid my side, and I can't control my psyche, my left side. It's just my right side, I can do anything with it. Just push you, hit you,
Yeah.
snap. Left side, I blast you. So I hit him.
Yeah.
He goes down, and he's screaming on the ground. And he's in pain. And as he's on pain, like, because he can't wear chest protector, his entire entourage gets around him. Raymond Chow runs to him. He's doing this to me. And I go, I think I'm fired. I'm pretty sure I'm fired. So I look like this. I'm really, I don't know. I know I messed up. Samuel looks over and he goes, Kung Fu. And I go, yes. He goes, more power. I went, more power? I just hit him hard out. He says, more power. What I didn't know was I think he meant more speed, but I thought he said more power. So here I go again. I kept on doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. Six, seven times. Each time he went down in pain. Screaming. I mean, he was just miserable pain. So he's on the ground. And then finally, my last one, I caught him in the throat. When I caught him in the
Oh,
throat,
yeah.
I broke character because I knew I crushed him. He lays on the ground, and then
You
all
blew the
got mad at me
take.
because that's the take they wanted to use. Well, still, that's the take they did put in. But
Okay.
Samuel, I knew he was going to fire me, but instead, he said, I've got something for you. I want to create a new scene for you. I want you to sidekick one of my people into. Like a bus. Can you hit him so hard he makes the bus shake? I said, yeah, I'll try it. I mean, so Sammo was just a bear. He didn't care. When I fought
Oh,
him,
it's
hit me
tough.
hard as you
It's
want.
tough on those movies. Yeah, they don't take any prisoners. Yeah,
Yeah, no,
it's hard
he
work, isn't it?
but literally, we had one, he's spinning the weapons, and I'm fighting Yong Bao, I'm fighting him, and I gotta do jump kicks and spin kicks and round kicks and duck weapons. And I do a jump spinning kick, and I'm supposed to break his staff. And then he looks, and then I jump kick him and knock him out. Well, one of the takes, I was so exhausted because I'm doing this as powerful as I can each time. I went too deep and I caught him in the head. And when I hit him in the head, he went out unconscious. Yongbao
This
didn't
was
break
Yun
the engine.
Biu.
I did. No, Yongbu was next to me. No, hit Sammo Hung.
Oh,
Sammo
Sammo.
Hung. I knocked
Oh.
him out. And in literally 60 seconds, I didn't break character and neither did Yongbu. We just stood there. And then finally, he wakes up. He goes, good, good. And he was so excited. And he picked me up and he got me in
Oh.
a bear hug. He said, that's what I want. And I went, oh my gosh,
Yeah, hardcore.
this is a hard board. I'm not even making this up. I asked Yuan, I said, how are you going to kill me at the end of the film? There's no scripts. There's no rehearsal. There's none of that. You know, it's just free. Come to the set and let's shoot. And so he says, nobody can believe we can beat you, Keith. And I went, what? I said, doesn't even make sense. But I went, I think you're right. So you don't have to kill me. He goes, no, we're going to figure a different way to kill you off at the end. And then Sammo came out at the end. And he had this tray, and he had this ceramic jugs, and he had six or eight of them on there. And the whole crew came out. The whole crew came out to see me get mine because I've been smacking people. Jackie and Sammo, they said they're going to get me back. A couple scenes I hit too hard in round kicks to get you on a couple times in round kicks as well. So I know they're going to pay me back, and it was warranted. So Sammo goes, Keith, he says, we're going to do this scene one time. He says, and he's going to crash you over the head. You don't do it right. We're going to use all six of these jugs. And I said, okay. I said, can I see them? And he had them right there. And I kind of hit the jug like that. And I said, but they're ceramic. They're not breakaways. And he says,
Real.
what do you want? I said, no, let's just do it. Let's just do it. And they had wine in them. And so when we did the scene, he hits me at the end of the fight scene. He hits me over the head. I knew it's coming. I was doing this. And I remember there's a smile on my face as I drop because I'm thinking, I'm the dumbest person in the world to let them knock me out, but they knocked me out. I woke up and they were all clapping. The whole crew was clapping.
Did it knock you out
Because
then?
it's totally out. That thing.
Oh
And I
man,
only
yeah.
did one take. That it was only one take for all of
The good old days, eh, Keith? The good old days
them.
when it was for real, proper hardcore. That's why we still love those movies now. They were
Right,
hardcore.
right.
Can you just tell us that your martial arts background? I know you're a professional kickboxer, right? Or sport karate
Oh,
fighter.
I did that as well, but I started with a track background in when I went to school, college. So I was a distance runner. So I went straight from distance runner to taking taekwondo. And then from taekwondo to different styles, and I studied with different people. And then I did what they call tournament fighting karate. And then I would tour the country and the
Yeah.
world, and I'd compete. And that's where I excelled. And at the same time, I was fighting full contact and at the same time. So my first starring role was one that got a theatrical release all over the world for the first time. Only one movie had ever done that, and that was Enter the Dragon. And then our movie was second. GMC picked it up, and I had two premieres back then, but we were in every theater in the United States, all over the world, and this is my first film. And so that revenge put me on the map instantly with that
Yeah.
Shokasugi movie. And
Yeah.
that the difference is when I saw that movie, when I was making it, I thought it was awful. The scenes were so over the top and awful. When I did the Wheels on Mills movie, every scene I thought it was the best thing I had ever seen. You know, that's the difference
Yeah.
between American and the Hong Kong style in my mind. I went, oh my gosh. Little did I know, the Revenge of the Ninja became one of the biggest movies of all time and just became
Yeah.
a phenomenal hit.
You inspired me so much as a kid, the films that I w
Oh
watched
gosh.
you in. I loved No Treat, No Surrender 3, Blood Brothers, so much. I've seen
With
that
Lauren
film so
Avadon.
many times. Yeah,
Oh my gosh.
that was great.
Yeah,
I've watched that
that
film so many times. That end fight, going up the whatever you call it, the scaffolding and everything. That must have took a long time. Yeah.
did take a week, and that did take 10, 12 hours a day, and that was brutal, you know, because it's in the summer, it's hot, you can't have the air conditioner running, and it's so hard. Tony Leung was a phenomenal stunt coordinator. I wasn't a big fan of Lucas Lowe, the director. But he didn't have much to do with that. He just let Tony do most of what he wanted to do. And Tony was he was really good, but he was demanding, just demanding. And there was things like he'd go, "I'm so limited. You guys are so talented." He'd go, "Keith, you're going to do a kip up with your gun, and you're going to." I went, "What's a kip up?" He goes, "Kip up. You jump up." And I went, "I had a cast on because I broke my arm, and I had a gun in this hand." And he goes, "You just lay on the ground, you pop up." And I went, "Can you show me?" He goes, "Stop." And they told his crew, says, "Teach Heath how to do it. You got 5 minutes to learn." 5 minutes
Wow.
later, "Let's go, let's roll." And I jumped up and I had the gun and I shot. It was the first time I've ever did it. It was right there when he taught me how to do it.
Because you got the gun and you got the cast, you can't use your hands really, so it's all
I had to
neck.
use the back of my neck.
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
so you did
And
well
I'm
to
not.
learn that in one day because a lot of wushu guys are training from age six to do that.
Well, no, I learned that in 5 minutes, and I am
Yeah.
not talented like you guys. Oh, no, there's a lot. Oh, my goodness. And so I just did it, but it was fun working with Lauren Avedon. It was a little frustrating working. I like Ryan Hunter at the end, not during the process, but it's fine. He's one of those actors. He came in character. You know, so I don't care. I just do films. I'm nice to everybody. And I put my hand to shake his hand, and he goes, "I don't like you." And I went, "What do you mean you don't like me?" He says, "I'm the bad guy. I don't like you during the film." And I went, "It's called acting. It
Let's
doesn't
hope you
matter."
like me during the
So
fight scene because we don't want to actually be smashing the hell out of each other more than we need to.
and then after the fight came out, after the film came out, my son comes up to me. He goes, "Dad, you're terrible." I said, "Why?" He goes, "You and the Lauren guy took two of you to beat an old man up with white hair." And I went, "It's in the script." And I get mad at Keith Sternberg, and Keith goes, "I know, you're thinking of yourself, not the storyline." I went, "But we couldn't beat an old man up."
I mean, I could only speak for myself, but that's what I loved about those movies because they were directed by Hong Kong directors and action directed by Hong Kong directors. It just had a completely different feel to them. You know, they were
Oh,
American
yes.
movies, but the fights were, you know, they were cheesy. There was sometimes you were laughing at the wrong things, but the fights, the action was so incredible
Right,
that,
right.
you know, and all the other movies that were coming out at the time couldn't compete. They're on another level.
Yeah!
Suppose, what was it originally called? It wasn't called No Retreat, No Surrender 3, right? It was just called Blood Brothers.
No, I think the shirts we were wearing on the set were called Blood Brothers. And it was later that it turned into No Retreat, No Surrender 3, because usually when Lauren and I are talking about it, we always talk about we starred in Blood Brothers. And it's just one of those films that went all through Europe, and they probably had 20 different names to them. And but
Yeah.
I think it's the one that a lot of people saw. I did a film recently, and there was this German stunt director coordinator named Mike Moeller, and he's really good, and he's doing a lot of films now. And he said he grew up on these films. You know, he was behind the Iron Curtain when they got a chance to get these films. These are the films they would watch and learn about fighting and a whole bit. So it was really nice to hear that. And
Yeah.
yeah, I really enjoyed the scene because I thought Tony Leung, the fight coordinator, was just so talented. And he has a team of eight people, and they're off in the corner, and they got their VHS, and they're in their recorders, and they're looking at all these different old movies, and then they're creating new fight sequences right there. They walk over to us, and then they go, "Here's your next four, six, eight moves." And they just create it right there. So we don't have any rehearsal
Yeah,
time at all.
Hong Kong
And they come
style, yeah,
over, and
on
they
the
go,
spot.
"It's all Hong Kong." And they go, "These are your eight moves." And we go through it once. I go through it twice. "Ready? All right, shoot." And then you do it. And sometimes Keith Strindberg said, "I did one scene 56 times." I don't remember, but I know with Jackie Chan's film with Sammo, I did one 50 over 50 times.
Listen, I find it very hard doing these fight scenes. It's painful. I don't particularly enjoy it, but when you go to that monitor and they go, yeah, and you watch it and it works. It makes it all worthwhile. And then you've got to go back to doing a load of takes to get the next shot. It's miserable, but it's all worthwhile when you see the whole fight scene cut together, right?
Right, we did one of the fight scenes was in a car garage, and Lauren and I are in there, and I'm coming to save him or whatever, and then they come out of everywhere, bad guys, and it was a real fun scene to do. A lot of spin, jump moves, going through car windows, and typical Hong Kong style. And no, it was good. I love that. The dialogue part, I didn't have the confidence I wasn't an actor. I took acting classes, but it didn't matter. But I felt confident as soon as the actors directors say action, I loved it. I was just in my element, but.
So you produced Blood Moon. Did you produce Superfights?
I did. I produced that one with Keith, and I did Blood
What
Moon,
about American
and then I
Shaolin?
did. No, I didn't do that one at all. I did a movie called American Kickboxer One, and I did that in South Africa with John Barrett,
Was
and
that
so I did.
after No Treat, No Surrender 3? Or
Yes,
before?
it was after,
Oh, right, okay.
right?
Yeah, I remember that
Yeah,
one.
I just remember I choreographed that. I didn't start as the fight choreographer, but 2 weeks into the shoot. The owner called me. I'm said, Keith, can you choreograph the fight scenes? I could because it was in a ring and everything with boxing rings. I could choreograph, but I couldn't do what you did in Accident Man because I never performed katas or forms in tournaments. So my mind wasn't geared that way, putting together. I could just fight. I was a fighter. And I'd hang out with Mike Stone, Chuck Norris. All those guys in the old days, those were my inspirations. I'd hang out with them and train and fight. But it was harder for me because I didn't know how to project my emotions like actors do. Because when they get on film, they realize you're telling the story through your face. And Jackie Chan would come to me and open my eyes and go, no, more face, more face, because I thought I could do it. But soon as the director would go, all right, ready, quiet on set, action. And I go right back to my ring
Go
again
back to
because when you're
fight
in a
mode,
ring,
yeah, you're hiding
you're
your
in fight mode. You don't
emotions,
project. You don't. Somebody hits you, you don't go. Ah. Whereas I hit Jackie, Jackie would just explode, and fall on the ground sometimes crying. And I go, and Benny looks at me and goes, "There's no crying in Friday." And I go, "But he is. It's just, but
Yeah, well,
he just
you'd
really
have
was
to
expressed."
break a lifetime of habits from hiding, your punches, hiding your emotions. You have to completely change your mindset, don't you? But I always, for me, I was training in martial arts, the reality-based side of it, but always with the mind to, oh, I want to get into the films as well. So I was always thinking that I would make my own home movies with my friends doing fight scenes. So, I was always doing it from a young age.
Now, I know, like the Accident Man, you did a lot of the duties from producing to writing the storyline and then starring in it. It takes so much effort. Just when I produced a film and starred in it, I was just worn out. I couldn't imagine putting the fight sequence together. Have you ever thought about directing it as well?
Yes, trying to make it happen. I won't say any
Good.
more than that. I've got
Good.
the project. Just trying to make sure that everything is going to be, I don't want to blow it. I want it to be good. Everything has to be right. Otherwise, why am I going to do it? I want to give myself a second career almost. As we get older, I probably can't smash myself around as much as I'll try my best. But I'd like to have something else to do as well as I'm advancing in years. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, not yet, but I'm thinking in the future, 20 years ahead. But yeah, I want to make sure everything's right. And in terms of getting tired, like doing the writing and the producing, the only reason I do it is so that I can have creative control of my films, and I'm not at the mercy of waiting for the script, because inevitably what happens, you can be waiting for a good script to come around, and maybe 6 months later, you're still waiting, and you end up taking something really crap just because you got to get paid and put food on the table, So I'm actively creating my own projects and writing stuff these days and
Okay, thank
producing for
you.
that reason, so that they can be good. I want them to be good. I don't want to do bad movies. I want to do good movies.
Well, your movies are very good. The general consensus of everybody I've interviewed so far, and I've interviewed the very best of the best, all these great guys from Richard Norton and Cynthia Rothrock and all of them, Lauren Avedon, the consensus is you're the best we've ever seen. Everybody starts off thinking, well, who's your favorite? They all point to you. And they always go back, well, it started with Bruce Lee, but now it's you. And so you should really be proud of your career and everything you've done because you're leading the next generation of martial artists, which is something to really be proud of.
Oh, thanks, Keith. I really appreciate that. It's hard to take on board. But you inspired me greatly. I wanted to know that, like, truthfully, especially that experience, seeing you in the movies, but that experience in Atlanta, learning screenwriting from you guys. Yeah, it really helped. So you've helped me get here, my friend. So I just wanted to know
Well,
that.
listen,
We're standing on the
I want to
shoulders
thank
of
you so.
giants anyway.
Oh, you. And I know that I've seen so much of your stuff, but I just want the audience to know that how early did you think about getting into films? I know that you have a vast variety of styles that you study, but when did it
First
hit you in
thing
your
I
mind to say, I
remember.
want to be a star?
It's the first thing I remember. I remember telling my parents I wanted to be a stuntman. And then that became, I want to be an action star. I remember watching Bloodsport and being like, I was already massively into Bruce Lee. Jackie Chan, those films hadn't come out yet, which contradicts what I said earlier about Hong Kong movies coming out before America. But they came out kind of after Van Damme. A stream of Hong Kong movies started coming out then. But when I saw Bloodsport, I vividly remember saying to my mom, I want to do what that guy does. And that I made my mind up for sure then. I wanted to be like an action martial arts guy. And I dreamt the dream for as long as I can remember, and used to go down the bottom of the garden and pray to God, please, please, I have to be part of this. Please, can you just let me be part of this? And I think if you visualize something so clearly and work so hard to get there, you can't be denied, right? But I didn't know. I was scared that it wasn't going to work out for me, but I always had that dream.
Well, the good thing I think that you did that you incorporated gymnastics, and most people don't, and that gave you an edge and gave you another dimension in your fights. And when you got the role for Boyka for the Undisputed, I think it changed your career. I think that's probably what catapulted you into stardom was that role itself, or was it before then?
No, I'd say it's Boyka, but it wasn't. It didn't happen overnight. That film became a cult favorite, and then by the time we did three, and we did another one, of course, eventually. But you have to remember, I don't look like Boyka, so I wouldn't walk around being recognized. I mean, I remember being with Michael Jai White. He came to London, and we went to a martial arts show, and people were stopping him, and they're all saying, "Oh, Undisputed Two, man. Undisputed 2 is brilliant." I'm standing right next to him, and he's like, "You do know who this is, right?" And they're like, "No, this is Boyka." But nobody ever recognized me because I look so drastically different. But yeah, meeting Isaac Florentine and doing Special Forces, the film before that. And then he really fought for me to have that role as Boyka. He had to fight the producers to make it so that I was playing that part. And so I owe a lot to
How much
Isaac.
weight did you put on for that? How do you muscle up and how much weight?
I had a good lead in. I had quite a bit of time. So it was about, I don't know, 4 months of just eating as much as I could and training hard. I mean, yeah, I was in good shape before that, but I went to the next level with it. I mean, you got to because Michael Jai White's so huge. How was it going? I just felt like, how am I going to play a convincing villain against his hero? I've got to go for it. So I put a lot of muscle on. We use kilograms over here, not the pounds. But
Oh, I see,
normally
I
I'm
see. My
about
bad, my bad.
84. Yeah, I'm about
Right.
84, 86 kilograms. And I went up to 90 kilograms for Undisputed 2. I was carrying around a bit of fat and water, to be honest. I was more ripped in the third one, but looked bigger for it in a way.
Malcolm J. White's a personal friend of mine. I was just with him a couple of months ago, and he's a terrific athlete. I think together you two just were a dynamic couple, in your fight scenes. And what got me was. Was it two? Wasn't that the one that you fought him that you really had JJ Perry come aboard and then kind of work some of your moves and your you
Yeah,
did three things.
JJ was the fight coordinator, and he the speed ramping was something that he suggested. He'd been watching this Robbie Williams video where they were using the speed changes like that, and he brought that to that movie, which Isaac then used in every other subsequent film. And Mike was like helping me out a lot, trying to make himself like he was bringing his weight down as I was trying to
Right,
bring mine
right.
up. He was, putting me up on a box so because he wanted to look the same height. He
Well,
wasn't
you
doing
did.
martial arts, and that was frustrating him. I knew he wanted to start throwing some kicks because he was seeing me have all the fun.
Well, he's the real deal. He is bona
He is,
fide,
yeah.
just one of the baddest men
But
on
he
this
was playing a
planet.
boxer, you see, so he couldn't do much kicking. I could see he was getting frustrated, like, man, I want to do some kicks. there's a kick where I run up somebody's chest and I do a, they call it a flash kick, you know, and I land and I do a somersault. And I didn't know that I could do that. I'd pushed off somebody's chest before, and then I would land on the ground and then I would sidekick them. And that was on my showreel for a long time. But right. JJ's like, do you reckon he could run up his chest and flash kick him? I said, well, I don't know. Go on, try it. So he would push me and he would elevate. In Wolverine, we came up with this move where I'd sidekick one guy and then I'd do a full 360 spin horizontal like a butterfly twist off the guy and then kick somebody else. And so he would push me to do things that I didn't know I could do. And that's what you need from a fight coordinator. Now I'm like, no, no, don't want to get injured. Let's stick to what I could do.
I think for me, the next phase of your career, I mean, everybody has their opinions. When you did Avengement, see, most martial artists and film stars, I don't know of any of them that would have done what you did. You have no ego. You care so much for the film. You put a grill in your mouth. You shaved your head. You came out of it. Was just the ugliest looking meme. And I went, and it was some of the best action, best acting from you. And I went, this took you to another level because I'm 90% hair, 10% substance. If I don't have my hair, I'm nothing.
No, I love playing a character. I actually prefer it when, because, you know, if you're the good-looking hero or you're supposed to be, sometimes you wake up and you look in the mirror and you think, oh, my God, I look rough today. It's another thing to worry about. But if you're playing a part where none of that matters, it's a lot more freeing. So I always like to try and create a character and have a lot of fun doing that because I started acting, you know, age 18. You know, started young and I was on the stage and everything, doing Shakespeare and all sorts. So even though I wasn't as good as an actor as I was a martial artist, like the martial arts came naturally to me, the acting took a bit of work, but I always, you know, really appreciate getting to play a character.
Well, I'd say here's the difference in you and I. When I first started, I was more concerned about my stance. Samuel Hung is going, getting ready to say action. I'm going, what's my style? What's my, I didn't even know. I had no sense of who I was. Do I get low?
I know what you're saying, but I know where you're coming from, Keith. I used to think the same thing. I used to think, I don't know that I know what my style is. And then I realized that my style is no style. I'm just hard. I'll just play it like I don't care. Hands down, wait for the kick and then react to it. You know, rather than figure, I used to think, well, what's my pose? Shall I do a wushu one? Shall I make it Chinese? Right. Shall I do something? I can't do what Van Damme does because everyone's doing that. What is my style? I used to think this.
You know, most people are thinking that I'm much more intelligent than that. No, that's all. That's where it was. It was when he says action, you know, and then I figured out, I wish I had just stood there and looked menacing, if I could look menacing, you know, versus doing the, you know, little hokey pokey, whatever I did, but I didn't care. But here's my favorite of all your films. John Wick, of course, blew me away. You in that suit, your role wasn't as long, but you, technically, that's all people talked about from that film. The fact that you could do what you did in that film was just, it's incredible. And a lot of films I've enjoyed, they're all great. But when you did Accident Man, and the first with Amy Johnson and Michael J. White again, and that was good. But here, you figured out a secret to filmmaking that most people haven't figured out. You did the second one. And it's so good because you put depth with your characters. Your characters were so rich. They had a history, but you gave them a history because you did a voiceover. You introduced the characters on film. So now we can identify with the characters, good or bad, it doesn't matter. We know who they are. And they were deep and rich. And then they were just so fantastic and just made the film so fun to watch. And then this Andy Long came on. I stood up and I was doing this going, who can do what that man just did? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the next
congratulations
generation.
On that film.
Yeah, no, thank you. It was a project. It was a comic book that I loved as a kid, so it was very dear to me. And I managed to get the rights and produce it. And I wrote it with my friend from school, Stu Small. And we've wrote quite a few things together now, Avengement included.
You produced that and you also choreographed that film.
Yeah. Well, listen, I learned that ignorance is bliss. I didn't want to
Right.
know what I knew was going on behind the scenes because it's so stressful. I don't like to do it. I'm more of a creative producer than a producer. I can't crunch the numbers
Right.
like those guys do. And I don't want to because I'm too like emotionally involved. You've got to be like hard and cold with it and just cutthroat to be a good producer. I just want to spend all my paycheck on the movie, which apparently is not good, my agent tells me. But anyway, I'm glad you
Well, let
like
me ask
Accident
you.
Man. That was very personal to me, though, those two movies, and I'm hoping to do a third one
Oh,
very
yeah, I
soon.
can't wait. Cynthia Rothrock had this movie called Black Creek. It's getting ready to come
Yeah.
out. And he put all these action stars in there.
Yeah.
And I told Cynthia, I said, Cynthia, I'll only do it because I was interviewing her. I said, I only want to do one scene. It's a cameo scene. I just want to be in one scene with Richard Norton. I started my career with him. I want to end with him. I want to maybe bump into him. And then that's how that's it. That's all I'll do. I said, I'll come film that. Later, she said, everybody, Keith has agreed to fight Benny Ikaitis in a scene in the movie. And I went, where did that come from? I didn't even know about it. So anyway,
Yeah.
Mike Mohler put it together. Benny and I trained and we rehearsed a lot together, which was so fun. It was 2:30 in the morning. We did a couple of nights. It was in the Arizona in the desert. The wind's blowing. It's so cold. The crew's in Arctic jackets. You think they're in wherever. It's just freezing in Alaska. So Benny and I are there. It's a Western, so we have cowboy boots on and cowboy attire. We're outside, and I'm supposed to start the sequence off and hit Benny with a front kick. In the sand, he's supposed to shuffle back, and we continue our fight. Well, I got too geared up, and I hit Benny so hard, he flipped backwards, lands on his back. And they go, cut, cut. I said, Benny, you okay? And he goes, no problem. He always said, no problem. He's fine. He's so tough.
Yeah.
I said, Benny, the next set of fight sequences, you got to hit me with a spinning back kick, and you're supposed to knock me back too. I said, just hit me. Just go
The
ahead and hit
Benny the
me.
Jet
Benny hits
spinning
me.
back kick.
He hits me so
Probably
hard
the best
when I
back
flew.
kick on the planet Earth, right? His
He
back kick
hit me
is
so hard.
legendary.
I fly back. I land. My hip was hurt, but I landed. It's 30 degrees outside. I'm in pain. I went, this is one of the best moments of my life. I'm the happiest I've ever been. Because I was having flashbacks to my youth when I was doing all these films. My wife was upset. I'm looking here going, it doesn't get better than this to come back and have one more experience to do this one more time with Benny Ikaitis, my friend. It was heaven. It was just one of the
Did you
best
enjoy it
experiences.
then, Keith, getting back in the saddle and doing another fight scene after a bit of time, presumably?
Yeah, I did. It was one of the best fights. It was so good because Keith Cook and the Richard Nortons and everybody, they would gather around to
Yeah.
see us fight like we're old timers and they wanted to
Yeah.
see like old history or something. And Mike Mohler, I think he was in tears the whole time he was shooting it. He just kept on
Oh, yeah.
hugging us, going, this is the best experience of my life. Because he just grew up with us and now
Yeah, I
he's
know
seeing
Mike.
people
I
he
know
grew up with.
Mike. He's a great
Yeah,
guy and a
good guy.
fabulous martial artist, choreographer, and man, he's one of the best kickers you'll ever see.
Yeah, he's such a nice guy, and he couldn't have been more kind and supportive. And he just kept on thanking me. I said, no, I mean, but yeah, it was fun. It was enjoyable.
And do you have any fond memories of super fights? That end fight, anything interesting happen there?
Yeah, I actually loved it because I can't believe some of the techniques that Tony Leung, he choreographed that as well. He did a lot of. I could pick my knee up, and I do my knees like some kind of. I don't know. It's some funky stuff. But for some reason, that's some of people's favorite technique. And I enjoyed that so much, being the bad guy, because it's fun being the bad guy. The bad guy
Yeah.
wins most of the fight until the very end. But
Yeah.
it was
He has the
choreographed very
best
well.
lines and all the fun.
It is. I
Yeah.
know. And I enjoyed it. It was, get this. I was thinking about, I had a flashback when you were working with J.J. Perry. He was asking to do all these phenomenal things for like Undisputed. And I was going, if they asked me to do that, Tony Leung said, Leon goes, Keith, our first fight scene is 7 o'clock in the morning. It was 7 days for the one of the in fight scene. He says, you have to do a triple kick. And you have to kick the bad. You have to kick Brandon Gaines and Kelly Gallant and the mother. There's four people. I have to do all these kicks, and I went. Only two words came out of my mouth. wire or double? Which one do you want first? Pick a lane. I don't care. He goes, we'll go with wire.
Well, Keith, honestly, you've inspired me. So I want to thank you. And thanks for doing a good podcast as well and keeping the martial arts
Well,
alive and the martial arts movies and talking about it. We're all doing the same sort of thing. Yeah, I appreciate it, mate.
it's the greatest honor so far. Thank you so much.